Just a couple of things I wanted to go over, and we've heard it before. Have y'all heard of empathy and sympathy? Mm-hmm. I know John probably already wept your dick up. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because sometimes I get confused. So I looked it up today. So sympathy involves understanding from your own perspective. It's an observation, acceptance of what someone else is going through. So I can give you sympathy, but it's in your perspective, not mine. Empathy, however, is the ability to understand and share the feelings of that other one. You actually, and Kimmy and I both have done this in counseling and stuff, you actually take that on yourself. I've actually cried for people because of what they were going through. So the empathy is putting yourself in the other person's shoes. Yes. So out of the two, I think empathy would be better. I mean, we need to understand what people go through. And whatever you go through is important to you, okay? We go through our problems or go through our situations, and they're important to us. Other people may look on the outside and go, gosh, if that's all I had to worry about, I've heard that before. If that's all I had to worry about, that'd be good. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to have empathy as Christians for one another. Try to put yourself in their shoes, especially before you're going to judge somebody. I've taught this week a couple of times that I wanted to be kind of judged, and I thought, no, that's not right. I mean, it's so quick to judge, especially in the times we're having now, financial problems, the gas prices are going up, you know, so many things are happening around us, work is struggle, do I go to work, do I stay home, do I do this or I do that, everything comes together and it starts to bother you, and then sometimes you feel alone in all that process, you feel like, well, why are we struggling so hard through this, why? I can look at Kimmy and I'm telling you right now, she's a warrior. I mean, from day one, she's been a warrior. Well, don't cry. She is giving God the glory for everything that she's going through. And I think that's very admirable. Instead of whining, I've got big baby whiner on the back of my truck on board. But instead of whining, we need to see that whatever we're going through is going to give God the glory. Yes, it's terrible if people die in our lives and if, you know, tragedies that happen, the trauma. I don't know why these things happen. I just know they're going to happen because it's life on earth. One day when we go to heaven, not going to have to worry about all that. But right now, whatever you go through, look at it as when I get through this lesson, I'm going to give God the glory because I'm learning something out of this. Mm-hmm. I have self-pity a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. If you know me, you probably know it. I mean, that's just that is my vulnerable place in my Christian walk is the self-pity. You know, well, why did David die? Why did Kimmy have to go through all this stuff? Why did the church? It says, You know, I don't need to know why. Because my God has got everything in control. Now, we've already heard this verse, but I'm going to read it, 1 Peter 5. God, I got the shakes, really? All those drugs I've had. Just kidding, I haven't been even taking my pills. 1 Peter 5, who cares, Chris? Okay. Purse. 1 Peter 5, 6, or 11. Humble yourselves. Do we know what humble means? Who can explain it to me?
What is the opposite of being proud?
Pride?
Not thinking about yourself. Being humble. Humble means you're thinking, to me, it means you're thinking about others more than yourself.
Right.
Well, it's something that you do, but you don't, you're not doing it just for show.
Right. It's actually a heart action. You're actually putting yourself in a different attitude and a different atmosphere that you're coming and you're being humble before God. And we need to be humble in front of other people too. We don't need to be snotty and cocky. But anyway, thank you. Those were good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. God cares for you. Let's all say that God cares for me, though. God cares for me. Let's all say it. God cares for me. He cares for you. He wants you to come to him humbly and let him take care of you. Sometimes we try to do everything ourselves. He doesn't want that. All right, so we're going to do this because at the proper time, at God's time, not our time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties, not some of them, all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firming your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God's got this plan. He's going to take care of you. He's got you. You don't need to know what's going to happen. Okay? You just need to humble yourself before God. Let him reveal things to you. At his time, he's going to take all of your anxieties, all of them, and take them away. Praise God. Thank you. When Jesus died, he paid for sin, shame, pain, past mistakes, rejection, and loneliness, slavery to sin, and even spiritual death. He didn't just die so we could go to heaven. He died for everything, everything we're going through. Let me tell you, Jesus has gone through everything you've gone through. He has stood where you're standing now. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. I mean, I'm kind of elementary in my thought, simple ways. But it's hard for me to wrap around that there is this God who made this universe. He's in complete control. He can listen to everybody's prayers at every time. I mean, that's really something. I mean, who in here have you felt the presence when you prayed? You felt God was listening to you. At that time when you were praying, you felt the presence of God and he was listening to you. Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's how it should be. We should be in such an intimate contact with God that, you know, maybe people think you're crazy, but I mean, I talk to God all the time, especially when I'm alone. Oh my gosh. My God, what are we going to do here? What's going to happen? I mean, we've got to get into that intimacy with God, that we know what he wants, and he knows that he's going to care for us. We've got to quit worrying. We got to quit trying to make things happen. We got to quit trying to tell God what's going on. God knows what's going on, but he wants you to pray. Pray about all of it. He wants you to pray. And it's hard for me sometimes because I get so down that I feel like, well, God's not going to listen to me. You know what? When God looks down at me, he sees Jesus' blood. He sees righteousness. He sees a beautiful, beautiful child of his. He's not looking at, oh, you did that last week. You did this, you did that. You asked for forgiveness, says God. He doesn't know what you're talking about. But the devil, he roars like a lion. He's coming in to destroy. And he will take the smallest thing, and the devil's very, very patient. He will take the smallest thing and eat away at it a little bit at a time until finally it's just gotten out of control. It's happened before. It's happened to people in the church. It's happened to people in my family. That's just how he works. If he can destroy us and destroy your home, then you're not going to be out telling anybody about Jesus. So he's won, but he knows he's not going to win in the end, so he wants to take as many beautiful children of God down as he can. And that's why I can't believe people don't believe in the devil. I mean, I've seen him work. I have seen him work. I have. And I've even listened to his logic. I mean, you know, you just get in that era where you just, yeah, everybody would be better off if you weren't here. You know, go ahead and take these pills so you can be with David. Everybody would be better off. I mean, you sit there and you listen because he will pick things out that will bring you back. Well, you know, you did have that abortion when you were 27 years old. You actually had murder. God's never going to forgive you for that. You know, all your friends now won't come around because David's gone, so you feel like a third wheel. Well, you know, you're not important to anyone. No one needs you. I mean, and you keep on, and after a while you're going, yeah, that's right, that's right. And God's going, are you serious? My son paid for all of that. You are a precious, precious child of mine. Do not tear yourself down. Do not listen to those lies. You are amazing. You are amazing. And I know Deborah and I both struggle with depression. And that's hard to get up during the day and you go, okay, everything comes against you, depressed, but you got to fight. Deborah knows that too, you just got to fight it.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, the enemy moves. He will make it to where, because I counseled somebody this happened to you. You're out of the workplace, you and your wife start arguing, you know, and then you think, the devil tell you. Well, I don't think the devil does his teammates. Well, you know what? He doesn't even tell you he loves you that much anymore. Yeah. When's the last time he said that you look pretty? Or that you were attractive? Or that he wanted to take you out because he's proud of you? When's the last time that happened? Oh, I'm too tired. I don't want to be intimate with you. And this goes on for weeks. Okay, this goes on and on. You feel kind of down about yourself. You get around someone at work and they're going, oh, hey, you look so fine today, babe. And you kind of, huh? Oh, hey, that was nice. Next couple of days later, hey, you want to come over here and have coffee? Let's take a break together. He goes, oh, I can't imagine why your husband does not take you places. You are gorgeous. I would be so proud of you. Oh, you're amazing. You're amazing. Oh, really? Thank you. Husband doesn't do anything. And it can be vice versa, okay? And it keeps on until, I mean, women, let me tell you this. Women do not want to cheat for intimacy of sexual pleasure. That will come, okay? They want the emotional. They want someone there, hey, we've got this, baby. We're going to do this. Whatever happens, we're going to get through this. I love you. I support you. This is what we want, that emotional stability. And we want to know that we're beautiful to them, that we're attractive. Yeah, everybody's going to look at somebody else and go, oh my gosh, dang, did you see him? Did you see those ads? It doesn't matter. But the people back at work, she comes in, she has a different perfume on. Oh my gosh, girl, you are smelling fine. What is that? Oh, that dress just makes your eyes pop. I mean, this is how it goes. And then it's kind of touchy, like touch you on the shoulder. Oh, and he goes, you need a hug today, don't you? So, and then that emotional bond happens. This is what happens. Yeah. And the devil is very patient. He will start out with, hey, how you doing? To, hey, let's go get a motel room. That's where it's going to go. That's what the devil wants. He wants to destroy your marriage. And flip side for the woman, too. You know, I've worked today. You come in. You don't do anything. You sit down, watch TV. I'm in here cooking, doing laundry, all this stuff. I need you to help me. I don't want to help you right now. Hey, I want to have sex. I'm tired, baby. I don't feel good. Don't pressure me. See, we're constantly battling against each other. We've got to love each other right where we are. Your man or your husband or girlfriend, boyfriend, they're going to let you down. But you're going to have empathy. Put yourself in their shoes. You know, I mean, this is so clear to me now that David's gone. You know, But we did, I mean, I did tell him on almost a daily basis, I'm so proud of you, thank you for working for our family. I did try, I really did. And he did me too, once I tell him, do I look cute today? You know, yeah, you look big and fat today. No, he, you know, but I'm just telling you, we do not have the assurance of tomorrow. But we got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. He made you, he thought so much of you, he thought, you know what, I need a Cindy in our lives. I need a Deborah in our lives. I need to make a Brenda and Anita and Dawn. And I need a Kathy in the lives of everybody. I need a Kimberly. I need a Pastor Larry. He even needed me. He made us all unique and special. We all have different fingerprints. We are special. We are wonderful in his eyes. So when you start to get down, and this is for me too, because I've been down all week. Oh, I've been just such a whiny baby. And I ask y'all's forgiveness, because when somebody's down and bringing that depression in the body, it affects everybody. It's not, I mean, even if I don't talk to you or see you till Sunday, it affects the body. We're here to encourage each other, to lift each other up. Okay? I want to encourage you that you are special and that you're going to have trials. That's just what it is. Humble yourselves. God's going to take all your anxieties, all of them. He's going to do that for you because he loves us. But we can't wrap our heads around it because there's so many families that, you know, that the kids and the parents don't even love one another. But it's got to start with you. It's got to start with you. How you feel about yourself and how you feel about God. There is not one person in here that I don't think is beautiful. And I mean that sincerely. I think y'all are beautiful. Even the men are gorgeous. You know, it's just because you can see their spirit. Your spirit. We should be glowing like a pregnant woman. That's all I can think of. I'm sorry. You know how people go, oh, you just glow, girl. Well, because I just ate 5 Twinkies and I got a baby. I'm eating for 2. But no, we glow. We need to glow for Jesus. And don't come to church looking all yucky. Come to church to be glad to look like, I want to look cute for God today. I want to present myself out in the world. I want to smile and make somebody's day by smiling. I want to go, you know what? God loves you. So they spit at you. Who cares? People do not reject you because of you. They reject you because the spirit you have in yourself. They reject the God in you. And that's hard for us to understand. Because when I feel rejected, I feel like it's a personal thing. You know, it comes right against me. But people reject you because of the God in you. Because you're different. They see something different. They see something that they want and maybe even jealous about it. But we all have talents and gifts in here. We all need to be exercising them, okay? We need to find out what it is that God has given you your special gift. I mean, I can sit here and tell you what I think all y'all are, but you need to know for yourself, what is my special talent that I have that God gave me? You know, I have a big heart. And I'm real, real sensitive, which is kind of ironic because I'm so loud.
I'm sure we both have the gift.
But, you know, we all have a gift. Let's start using them. Bring them to the body. Amen?
Amen?
God has a plan for us. I don't think he wants Bartimaeus just to be stagnant with us 9 every Sunday. I don't think that. Will he put 5,000 people here? No, I don't think so. But God has a plan for this church body. It's not dragging ourselves up here at 2:30 on Sundays and then living like crap during the week. We all have something to contribute, and that's what I want us to work on. Finding out what you have that is special that God wants you to use in your daily life. And remember, people don't reject you because they don't like you. It's they don't like the Jesus in you.
Priscilla, if I may share something,
yeah.
There's a young woman that comes to Blind Christian Fellowship,
mm-hmm.
and she went into a Walmart one time, and the manager saw her and he goes, "Can I help you?" And she told him she was blind, and do you know what he said? He walked away from her, and then a customer walked up and asked him, "Why did you refuse to help that blind lady?" He said, "Because I didn't want to go blind."
Seriously. That's contagious, sir. That's right. Don't touch me because you're going to be fat, okay? Don't touch my nose because you're going to have a big Jimmy Durante nose. But see, I make fun of myself. I shouldn't do that. But you know what? People do not have empathy. That's what I'm talking about. They don't have empathy. People feel uncomfortable about people looking different. It's happened for ages and ages. You know, you look a little different. People don't know how to react. Kids stare in the ass and, you know, "Oh, don't look over it. Don't look over there." We're all human beings, you know. I would much rather people come up to you and ask, "Hey, what happened? You know, you're such a beautiful person. I'm so sorry about that." Instead of looking, people just feel uncomfortable, period. Let's get it right. We have our own struggles. We're focused on our own stuff, and we don't really care about other people. We do.
You know, people don't know that I'm blind unless they see me with my cane or they see me walking with somebody holding on to their, doing sight, them guiding me. They don't know.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you, people feel uncomfortable.
You're right. They do. They do. I don't disagree with that.
Nobody wants to get out of their little box because they're secure. But as a Christian and Jesus-like people, we've got to get out of our box, people. We've got to go full force. Do what God wants you to do. Show those examples. Okay, getting a word of knowledge right now. I know before that didn't go well, but there is so much stuff weighing on you right now, and God wants to release that burden today. There's a lot of confusion. There's heaviness on your heart. There's worry, a little depression, and you just need to release that today because God loves you. You know, come up here and pray. I know we usually go, but today I think we need to have prayer time. I don't know about you, but I like when my pastor prays for me. It makes me feel good. So anyway, that's just my opinion. We'll see how much that takes effect. I'll get you some Krispy Kreme donuts if you pray for me, Pastor. No, I'm just saying, I think we do need to have every once in a while an altar call. I do. I think it's important because there's stuff going on with each of us. So, I want to tell you, you're beautiful. Anita, you are beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Deborah, you're beautiful.
I'm beautiful.
Brenda, you're beautiful. Dawn, you're gorgeous.
Even with a runny nose?
Just say thank you. Cassie, you are so beautiful. Cindy, you're beautiful.
So are you.
Thank you. Kimmy, you're beautiful.
So are you.
And Pastor, you're gorgeous. You are a hump, okay?
He knows he's cute.
He is cute. That's how we got to know that. I'm special. I'm special. You're special. Let's go out in the world and share about how special we are. Okay, God's going. Got it all. Okay. Thank you, dear God, for loving us. Thank you for showing us that we are special and we're specially made in your image. Thank you, Father God, for all the things that you do for us. Please just touch us today, Lord. Just help something happen today or be said that will change our lives in a mighty way. We love you. We want to focus on you. Holy Spirit, please just be loose and let things happen the way you want them to. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.